You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Shopify helps you sell at every stage of your business. Like that, let's put it online and see what happens stage.
And the site is live.
That we opened a store and need a fast checkout stage.
Thanks, you're all set.
That count it up and ship it around the globe stage.
This one's going to Thailand.
And that, wait, did we just hit a million orders stage? Whatever your stage, businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/listen.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
You just found the most downloaded fitness, health, and entertainment podcast. This is Mind Pump, right? In today's episode, live callers called in. We got to coach them on air. There's four of them. But this was after our intro. Today's intro was 51 minutes long. Now in the intro, we talk about fitness, strength training, fat loss, diet, talk about current events, family life. It's a good time. By the way, if you want to be on an episode like this where you can call in, we'll help you out, email us your question. Just go to live@mindpumpmedia.com. Email it right there. Now, this episode is brought to you by some sponsors. The first one is Caldera Lab. This is the best skincare products you'll find anywhere that are natural. Helps balance out the microbiome on your skin. Studies show 91% of people who use their products notice a dramatic improvement in the way their skin looks and feels. Go check them out. Go to calderalab.com/mindpump. Use the code mindpump20. Get 20% off. This episode is also brought to you by Jolie. So this is a brand new company we're working with. These are shower heads that filter the chlorine and heavy metals out of your water. It will give your skin and hair dramatic improvement in health. Many people notice reductions in things like dermatitis or acne or dandruff from using these shower heads. By the way, you could try them out for yourself. There's free shipping, and they'll give you a refund within 60 days if it doesn't impact you in a positive way. Go check them out. Go to jolieskinco.com. That's JOLIESKINCO.com/mindpump. That's where you got to go. That's where you'll get the free shipping and the 60-day trial. We also have a sale this month on some workout programs. MAPS HIT and the Extreme Fitness Bundle are both 50% off. If you're interested, go to mapsfitnessproducts.com and then use the code APRIL50 for the discount. All right, here comes the show. Cold plunging. Everybody does it wrong. Yes, there's studies that show that it reduces muscle growth, but everybody's freaking out over that, and that's because they have no idea how to apply it properly. We're going to talk about the right ways to use the cold plunge to improve your health and improve the quality of your life. And of course, we'll cover the ways you shouldn't use the cold plunge.
I like this
one.
You're
doing it wrong.
I'm going to start with some studies. So there's studies have been circulating showing that cold plunging reduces muscle protein synthesis. I have one here that shows after resistance training, there was a 30% reduction in amino acid uptake. And there was a blunted nutrient delivery that lasted for about 3 hours. So of course, everybody's like, stop cold plunging.
Oh my God.
Because we need
losing the gains.
Yeah, we're losing our gains. And there's other studies that showed that it reduces the muscle building signal if you cold plunge post-workout. Well, I'm here to tell you that's because people are using it wrong. You're using it wrong. There are tremendous values to using cold plunge if you use it right. By the way, there's lots of benefits to strength training too. If you do it right, if you do it wrong, there's terrible effects as well.
Great point.
Everything has to be used properly in order to gain its benefit. You just have to understand how it works, how to use it, and how not to use it. Otherwise, you're either going to screw yourself or you're going to miss out on its benefits. So I'll start with the first benefit that's clear, that's shown in the data, using the cold plunge to boost immune system function. The data on that is pretty amazing. It boosts white blood cell count, and it strengthens the immune system. And there's lots of studies, other studies that show, even just population studies that show, less colds, less infections, less flu, like literally makes people less prone to getting sick. That's one of the most pronounced effects, of cold plunging. And the way to use it for that is about 3-4 days a week.
Yeah. And that's like the holistic health approach.
That's right.
And so it's like, yeah, you want to use, it for performance. That's a whole nother subject, but yeah, for just like obvious health reasons, it's definitely something you want to add in to your routine.
I know my personal story is, you know, anecdote, right? So people right away are going to say that. But if you guys remember, this was back when we were at the other studio when we first started, and it wasn't as popular as it was now, right? Everybody wasn't talking about it. In fact, cryotherapy was probably the more popular thing at that time.
Yeah,
that
it was easier to
that
get
was coming
into
on
that.
The scene. And I started doing that, had access to it, and it was really cool. And the thing that I reported back to you guys that it blew me away was, if I was consistent with that, meaning I was doing that 2 or 3 times a week, I was not getting sick. And I get sick. If I'm the guy who's in the room with, you know, two other people and, you know, or three other people and one person sick, I'm going to be the guy who gets the cold. Every
That's
time.
Just your history. I know that about you.
Yes. Yeah. And when I start, the biggest takeaway I had from doing it consistently was that more than anything else. And there's other cool benefits I know you're going to go over, but that was the one that really sold me. And then anytime I fall off and I'm inconsistent, that's it. I'll be sick.
Yeah. So. By the way, there's a long history of cold plunging in certain populations where they've been using it for a long time, mainly Eastern Bloc, Eastern European nations have been using this for a long time, specifically for the reason of boosting immune system. In fact, they do this with children.
Yeah, they throw them outside in the snow and take their shirts off, right? And
you
just immerse themselves in it.
You could watch videos of elementary schools in some of these Eastern European countries where it's snow, outside of snow. The kids go outside for recess.
Yep.
They put on bathing suits. They play in the snow and the teachers dump ice water on the kids.
Yeah.
It's a part of their culture.
Yeah.
My wife, at one point, she traveled to Ukraine. She had some relatives that were over there. And she said that the way that they bathe their babies is they finish all their baths with freezing cold water.
Freezing water.
Yeah. And you ask, why are you doing that? And it makes their immune system strong. So there's a long history of this.
Yeah.
And there's data to support this. In fact, I just pulled up a study that was done from the University of Ottawa. This was March 28, 2025. This is in Science News. The summary of the study, cold water immersion for 7 days. That's a week. Okay. Significantly improves cellular resilience and autophagic function. In other words, cells are able to manage stress better through this process.
So is that separate from, because I've never explained this right. When someone asked me the mechanism at which it's doing that, like I've never been able to articulate that really well. And so I thought it had more to do with your body, because most colds and some of that happen in the wintertime. That's when we normally spread all that. And my thought was, we are in this like controlled temperature environment all the time. You get out, you keep your AC at 70 degrees, you can get in your car, you're at 70 degrees. Like, we never have this fluctuation of really hot, really cold. And the contrast of that,
the abrupt change,
is stressful on somebody's body. So all of a sudden you go into winter and we're really, really cold. Your body it's been nice temperature for the last 6 months. Now all of a sudden it hits that. It's like, now you're vulnerable. And so all it takes is someone with a cold nearby and you're susceptible. Now that you train that, because you go in cold plunge, you are less susceptible to it. That's kind of how I
would agree with you, Adam. Now, what they would say is that there's less sunlight exposure, we're indoors with more people. But I agree with you. I think that's part of it because, look, I had this experience years ago. I lived in Palm Desert for a while. I had a gym down there. And I remember when I went there, it was over the summer. Now, the summers in Palm Desert are
crazy.
Oh,
120 plus.
Oh, 7 a.m., it's Hades. 90 degrees. Yeah. It would hit 120
Melt your shoes.
Routinely. It was so hot. It was unbearably hot. But I lived there for a while, and I acclimated. And I remember coming up here during the summer to visit my family, and it was 90 degrees. And everybody was complaining about how hot it was. And I remember being like, it feels totally fine. I had this experience with a client as well. I had a client who came from Wisconsin. she literally worked on a farm. Mm-hmm. She came and it was here in San Jose, it was like 48 degrees, which for us is freezing cold. It never gets that cold except for she was wearing shorts and short sleeve shirt.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, aren't you cold? She's like, are you kidding me? I'm used to our winters over there. She's like, this is nice.
Oh,
and it's so your body's ability to acclimate to temperature is a muscle, and you, it gets weak because we're always in temperature controlled environments. And I think that definitely weakening that weakens lots of other systems of the body. Strengthening it improves your resilience. And again, we have the data to support this 100%.
So,
and you lived in Chicago, right?
Yeah, you had that same experience. Very similar story to that, because I was exposed to like extreme, it was like 30 below, like because of the wind chill. And my roommate was this big guy. He was like close to 400 pounds at the time. And so he slept with the window open. And like I would close it and then he'd open it, you know, and it would just, I remember just nights where I was just freezing until I finally acclimated to it. And then coming back, went to like a football game to just like hang out with everybody. And I was in shorts, t-shirt, like nothing. And everybody's freezing, like bundled up in these like parkas. And yeah, it's crazy how quickly, it took me about a couple months and then I was like pretty adapted.
Yeah.
So is back to my original question to you. So is that independent to the cellular or is that one and the same?
I think that's all part of it.
Okay.
I think it's your body's ability to, so there's immune system boosting that we see in the data. And then there's your body's ability to acclimate to stress. And so it's a hormetic stress, right? And your body learns. And again, I think this is a stress that humans dealt with for a long time. You know, for most of human history, if it was hot, you were hot. If it was cold, you were cold. I mean, we had fires and stuff, but it's not like your house where your house is always 70 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a muscle. And you know this, by the way, if you cold dip or use a sauna regularly, you get better at it. You get acclimated. Your body actually get better at it. And I think it's strengthening that ability. So yeah, for sure. Now the next way to use it well is to replace coffee. So what's interesting about cold dipping is that, or cold plunging, is that it produces or releases these catecholamines that give you energy, not unlike what caffeine does. But here's the difference. You don't have this because caffeine, so, and here's the theory around it. We see this with other studies as well. When you do something hard to get the catecholamine release, you don't get the same adaptation with the, you know, with the receptors down regulating stuff like that. Like drinking coffee is easy.
Wasn't it like endogenous versus exogenous in terms of like it, you're producing it because of the stressor of it versus the chemical you're intaking with caffeine?
Yeah. So like if you get a spike in feel good chemicals because of something easy, your body acclimates and adapts and reduces its effect. If your spike comes from doing something hard, you tend to continue with that. So to give an example, you know, if you get that like euphoric, you know, call it runner's high or whatever, what you get when you train really hard. Like you always get that when you train hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like caffeine or alcohol or something like that. You need more and more to continue to get that same effect. And when they've examined this in the brain, that doing things that are hard to get this good feeling, it just sticks around.
Yeah.
So when you do a cold plunge in the morning, you get the effects of caffeine without the wear off and without the crash.
And I feel like it like carries on.
That's right.
It's like this, it's like a consistent high or how you feel, where caffeine tends to have this kind of like bell curve where it's like, you know, you first drink it, it doesn't really hit. Then it starts to hit and you're like, oh, this is peak at caffeine. And then, oh, you get about an hour of that great feeling or two. And then it feels like you're crashing, where this just kind of feels like it does this all day.
Yes.
I've noticed too. And when I was experimenting with that, cause I remember you guys had suggested that and I wanted to try it. And I originally was just doing it with my face and it was great because it would like I would get some of that initial spike in energy, but when I went all the way and immersed myself in it, now I had a lot more endurance in my workout.
Yeah.
Because my core temperature never really got too crazy.
Yes, yes. Next is to use it for inflammation. It's actually remarkably powerful at reducing total body inflammation, which by the way is why it also blunts the muscle building signal. Okay. But for some people, it's a good idea to reduce inflammation sometimes because they have a lot of inflammation. Now, who would be somebody that would benefit from this? I'll give you an example. Yeah, hardcore training athletes.
That's why it's been popular for so long. We've been doing this in the, you know, professional sport world for a very long time. You've seen athletes use it to recover so they could go practice later on or got a game the next day.
Lived and died by it.
Yes, or you, I mean, you even to the point where you see this happening in game time now, like ball players. the guys, when they sub out in the game, literally wrap ice on their knees they wrap, they got all these cold
tech boots.
Right away. They're not even waiting until afterwards to kind of, and the whole idea is just to bring that inflammation down as fast as they can. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't hinder their play. And so that has been practiced for a very, very long time. So the science is very clear on the benefits of that. It just gets convoluted when you start talking about hypertrophy.
You also have people with like autoimmune issues that just cause systemic inflammation, and they have to take anti-inflammatories. You have to take immunomodulating drugs to try to reduce this kind of inflammatory response. Digestive inflammation. You have, you know, osteoarthritis or joint type inflammation. And there's lots of things that you can do to help that, but cold plunging is probably, I would say, is definitely a great way to reduce systemic inflammation. It can reduce inflammation in the brain, which is connected to things like depression and anxiety. This is why cold plunging has been shown to reduce depression, in my opinion. So people with kind of chronic inflammation or chronic inflammatory type issues, cold plunging, you know, 3 days a week, 4 days a week can be a natural medicine, something that you don't have to take a drug to accomplish. And then lastly, it's what we just talked about, which is to increase workout capacity. There is a class of people who work out. There's a category of people that work out regularly who could care less about the muscle building signal.
Yeah.
What they're looking for is, can I practice and train as much as possible to get good as possible at my sport?
Performance.
Mm-hmm. And that's athletes. Athletes don't practice football to get jacked. That's a side effect. The more football they can play, the better they can get at playing football. The more basketball you can play, the better you can get at basketball. The limiting factor to how much basketball you can play is your body ability to recover. You have to at some point stop, or you're just killing yourself. You're breaking things down. Right. Well, what if there was a way to be able to add an extra practice and it was natural? Is that beneficial? You better believe it. Yeah. Cold plunging post-workout. This is when they say don't do it, right? For athletes, this is amazing. You mentioned double days.
Yep.
You're going hard in the morning, and double days for football is brutal. You're going hard in the morning. You're going to come back in the afternoon, cold plunge in between. Now you can practice and practice and practice, and you've increased your work capacity by 20, 30%, 50%. Is that going to make you a better athlete? Yes. In fact, oftentimes what differentiates great athletes from good athletes besides talent is just their body's ability to acclimate to that stress. They can just practice more than everybody. They don't get broken down.
Now leave it to the fitness industry to take something really, really good, find a way to bastardize it, and now there's tons of confusion around it.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like we've known for a very long time all the benefits of this. Okay, this isn't new science, but it got popular somewhere. And then everybody started doing it. And then it became popular to counter why it's not good. That's right. And so now what happened, and this is a part of our space that frustrates the hell out of me,
because everybody's so confused.
Yes, because you take something that is really good, and then again it gets bastardized, and then you get the guys that come on and use the counter science to it, and then you get the average person who's trying to make a healthier lifestyle, do things that are good for them, and they're just they're lost. Is it good? Is it not good? Because I don't know. I've been told that it's bad for building muscle. I've been told it's good for this. And so I don't know what to believe. And then they just stall out and don't do anything. I feel like we do this with so many things. Cold plunging is one of those.
We do this with diet. We do like everything in the fitness, in the marketing fitness space points to aesthetics. Mm-hmm. Okay. Everything's about aesthetics. Everything makes you, if it makes you look good, it's good. If it doesn't make you look good, then it's bad. And if it's healthy for you, but it has maybe a potential for improving aesthetics, that's what we're going to focus on. So like fasting is a great example. Fasting has tremendous benefits and applications, especially from a spiritual perspective. But of course, if you don't eat, lose weight. So what do they turn into? A diet, right? Which is a terrible diet. Fasting is a terrible diet. Yeah. Well, this is what they did with cold plunging. So if your goal is muscle growth only, that's all you care about is building muscle, and you're not going to add any more volume, but when you add the cold plunging, then don't cold plunge post-workout, okay? Now, if you cold plunge post-workout so that you can train more often, then you're okay. You'll actually balance out the fact that it reduces the muscle building signal because you're in the gym more often. But if you're like, look, I only go to the gym 3 days a week. That's the most I can do. I'm not going to go anymore. My main goal is building muscle. All the other benefits you talked about, I'm not really interested in. The only time I could cold plunge is post-workout, so I'm just not going to do it. Fine. Then that's totally right for you.
Or do it and be okay with the fact that it doesn't give you the maximum amount of muscle building too. Cause that's the other side of this is that you use that scenario. Cause I've had someone tell me that before, like, it's just really convenient for me, Adam, to plunge afterwards, yeah. You know, because that's just the time I have. It's at the gym I go to. But I've heard it's terrible for building. Yeah, it does, but it's not going to stop you from building muscle. It's just, you're not optimizing it at the absolute peak level. But I mean, come on, how many other things in your life could you probably get a little bit better that would make up for that? You know, make up for that ground. Like how about get yourself another hour of sleep, you know, or hit your protein intake consistently for a little bit longer. Like all those things are going to end up benefiting you in the muscle building.
You know what the irony of this too, Adam, is that the people who are most, obsessed about this are also ones that are most likely to be redlining with their workouts.
Exactly.
Who will probably build more muscle
from sleep and recovery.
And not only that, but they'll probably build muscle from plunging because they could use a reduced inflammatory signal because they're always too hard. You know, it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Next up, if you're just severely overstressed, right? You're lacking sleep, your hormones are off, you're not doing well at all. Well, adding any additional stress in the body, which would include an intense workout, right? Or cold plunging regularly might not be a good idea. So you'll see functional medicine practitioners when they'll look at someone's cortisol levels and they have the inverted, you know, the bad cortisol where it's low in the morning, spikes at night, and they have kind of HPA axis dysfunction.
Yeah.
They'll typically tell that person, hey, let's back off on the cold plunging, maybe once a week or none for a little while.
Well, I think it's important to note because Doug's not even that bad, but Cabral told Doug he shouldn't.
Right.
It's just
his cortisol was high at night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like dangerously high. It was higher. And the goal is to optimize his sleep and get better at that. It's not making that any easier or better. It makes sense not to.
That's right. So. Next up, when you're already sick. Which I don't know what kind of psycho would want to jump in a cold plunge. The last thing I would want to do is jump in a 40-degree
headache
while you're already sick. But there's somebody out there that might think horrible. This is a good idea, bad idea. You're already sick. You're just going to stress yourself more. It'd be like working out when you're sick.
I mean, I know people have done that for like a heat and they'll go in the sauna. Different animal, but like for cold, that just makes sense.
Well, what happens when your body is fighting an infection? What does it do?
Yeah.
It gives you a fever.
Raises you up.
It raises you up because that can actually help the immune system. So sauna might make sense unless you're already in an active fever.
You could overdo it.
But the cold, no. Don't go in a cold dip. Don't freeze yourself when you're
sick. In that same thing, I would say just overly stressed period, right? You kind of said that with the last one. It's just you don't have to necessarily have the, you know, cortisol inverted, although that might be correlated with that. It's like period, just knowing that, okay, I've got a lot going on in my life. That's another stress. Probably not the best thing to do.
Speaking about stress, so I got to tell you guys, and I know this through training people. I know you guys know this as well. But experiencing it myself always reminds me of the power of food. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Are you going to talk about your fat face now? I feel so good today. I just want to point that out.
Adam level.
I think I'm not the fattest face today. I just want to say that. So camera doesn't lie. So take a look.
Been squirreling away.
I'm pretty sure he's got fat face today.
Yeah, dude.
For the first time, I feel a little skinny right now.
You know what I did? So we had Easter, you know, celebration with my family, and which we'll talk about. I'll tell you guys all about that, but I ate terribly. When I mean terrible, I drank beer, which beer has gluten in it, which not good for me. And I drank, you know, 4 beers, which is a lot for me. Then I ate gluten. Then I ate dairy. Like these are things.
No holds barred for you this week.
No holds barred. And I ate the whole time we went to a park. So it was a big family reunion in a park. And Cadbury I just ate
eggs and peeps.
And then ate candy.
Oh my God. You did it all.
And then I got home. And then we got home. And here's what's funny about eating crappy food.
Meanwhile, too, you're recovering from an injury, too.
So this is where I'm going to go. So I hurt my back and my hamstring like a week and a half ago. And it's been getting better, but it's still iffy, right? So anyway, I'm eating terribly. And here's what happens, too, when you eat terrible. It's so funny. You'll eat terrible. And even though you feel like dog crap, you'll crave more of it, which is really weird.
Yeah. Sure.
So then I get home and I'm like, babe, I'm just going to order a cheeseburger. So then I eat cheeseburger, more gluten, more dairy, more garbage. And then I have jelly beans. So go to bed, wake up, and my back, which was getting better, it's like the day after I hurt it. It's terrible. You guys see me walking today?
That beautiful inflammation.
Just inflammation city. My whole body is super inflamed from it. Terrible. Yeah. Absolutely terrible.
What is that causes that? Like you said,
immune response.
No. I know that. I'm talking more about like the way that you pointed something out that I think is such a true statement. Like you do something like that, you eat a bunch of bad food, it makes you feel worse, but that yet you
still want more. You still want. Insult to injury.
Yeah, yeah. It's like sadistic. Like, what is it about us that's going on that causes you still to do that, where
some temporary reward
weird gets. Is
that's,
it that
you that's think it's part that? Of it, but there's all it's also drug-like effects.
Yeah. That's how I feel. Yeah. More like that, like it's like a pull towards it, like I shouldn't be pulled towards this. I know how it's making me feel, but man, it just sounds good right now.
The best thing I could have done when I came home was fast for the rest of the day and just drink a bunch of water.
Right.
But it's drug-like effects. It's like I start going through withdrawal. And I know what it is. I could feel it. And I'm like, why am I ordering this cheeseburger? Whatever, give into it because I'm weak and I eat it.
Yeah. And then, know that what you're saying is true because the reverse is true. If you've ever stayed away from all that stuff or
you stop craving it.
You don't even crave it. You could be around it and be like, it's okay.
You guys remember Supersize Me, that documentary with that dude?
Yeah.
Remember what he said? At first, he was kind of forcing himself.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I feel like garbage, but I crave it. I
like it. Yeah, but I'm eating it anyway.
Yeah,
and then
dude.
He started to crave
it. So, I woke up at 3 a.m. and I'm like, oh man, I could feel my back. You know what it is, by the way? Just a little more detail. It's my psoas muscle that I pulled when I was working out. So the psoas, it's actually a hip flexor, but it goes through the body, attaches at the spine.
Yeah.
A lot of times people have psoas pain and they'll call it back pain, but it's the psoas muscle.
Yeah. It's pulling on the low back.
Yeah. The psoas goes through the digestive system. And
when you inflame that too, then it's double whammy.
So what happens when your digestive system's inflamed, it bloats and it gets inflamed and it changes the recruitment pattern of all your stabilizers for your lumbar spine, including the psoas, which was already injured. And now it's inflamed on top of it. So it's just working poorly, plus inflammation.
The best irony of this is that...
What, that I know better?
Yes, that you know it. Because you know this happens to people, clients all the time. And they just don't know. They don't realize it. They don't realize, like, you know you just pulled your back. You know that you just inflamed all your digestive system. Like, that is just going to exacerbate that whole situation. Yeah. The irony is that...
We'll go to the doctor.
You know,
something's wrong
with me. You know damn well what's coming, and then you still do it. Where the average person's like, this makes no sense. Why is my low back hurting?
Well, most people don't know that your food can have a pronounced effect on pain. Everybody thinks obese.
Yeah.
You know, fat. I gain fat. I lose fat, whatever. They think maybe cognitive performance. There's a lot of data to support that. That, you know, the way you eat will affect how you think. The way you eat will affect your mood. This is all backed by data. And the way you eat will affect pain. Yeah.
I just had this conversation with my oldest because we're in Palm Desert. And he actually is missing practice, you know, for the week. So we decided that we would look into going to this gym that was there already, like a gymnastic gym that was there. And they let him. And so he came in, but like their equipment's different. And it's really like the floor for Tumblr is really hard. And so he, you know, the first day was okay, but he's like, man, I was really stiff and my joints hurt and all this stuff. And what is he doing? He's eating, you know, candy and all this stuff. And I'm like, this is not going to help you. Trust me, this is a horrible idea. Goes back the next day and he's just, oh my God. Like, and just, it, you know, all kinds of pain. And it totally was just inflammation.
Bro, I had a client that was a doctor that I used to love to train because I love him. He's funny, but he was also like, he had that like, like a-hole attitude, right? Where he would always talk crap to me about something I'd say. He would say like, oh, what is that frou-frou science that you like to share? And we would have debates like this, right?
Yeah.
And one time we were talking and he's in pain, right? And he just had told me about how much wine he had the night before and whatever. I said, well, it probably was your diet. He rolled his eyes so hard, like right in front, just to show me, rolled his eyes. Oh, yeah, my diet's why my back's hurting, Sal. Uh-huh. It's not because I have this thing. I'm like, no, your diet will affect how you feel. We had this whole discussion for the whole session.
That's so great.
And then I said, I tell you what, I did a challenge. I said, eat the way I tell you. And if you don't get significantly better, I'll give you 10 sessions free. Now I charged a lot for 10 sessions. Yeah. So he's like, I'll take that challenge.
Yeah.
He came back. He's like, I actually want to lie to you because I like the 10 sessions because my pain is way better. And I looked it up, Sal. There's lots of data to support it. Look at my face, man.
That's so funny. That's such a common doctor.
I know. We became such good friends.
Yeah.
He used to talk so much crap to me.
Yeah. We were all different places. Like you were Palm Desert.
Yeah.
Doug, where'd you go?
I was in Texas.
How was it? How was
great. Texas?
How was the event? How do you call it? What do you call it?
It's the World Shakuhachi Festival.
I have to have him say that. There's no way.
Shakuhachi.
Which means what?
The Shakuhachi is a Japanese flute. And
it was the flute. That's what it was for.
Yes.
For some reason, I thought food. I don't know why I thought
it's flute. It's the flute that's in Karate Kid, right?
Well, you've been learning how to play.
Yes.
Right?
So I went there. There was around 220 people from around the world. I mean, wow. I met people from all over the world.
That's a lot for that little.
Yeah.
Niche. How many? 200 and
like 220 people.
Oh, okay.
And I would say about 25-30% of them came in from Japan. And wow. Some of these were the top players in the world.
How much, let me ask you a question. How much pleasure and joy do you get out of looking the way you do and then speaking Japanese to Japanese people? They must be like so excited.
Well, so I would like to say that was a great experience of mine, but there were some people there, like white people, that could speak Japanese way better than me. I was not anything special.
In that setting, it's not that cool. In the other settings, it's probably way cooler. Like at a restaurant when no one's ready for it.
Yeah, exactly.
At a party when no one's ready.
Order for you.
But there, you probably.
I kind of wanted to give up, honestly. Yeah. After hearing some of these guys, well, they've lived like 20, 30 years in Japan, some of these people.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they speak Japanese very fluently.
Did you buy any special flutes?
Yeah.
I actually did buy a flute.
Did you jam with like a bunch of
people? So there were a lot of workshops.
Do you call jamming with flutes?
They jam. I swear.
It is a jam.
So there are a lot of workshops I went to.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty much a beginner. I started in August of last year, and we have people there that were playing 20, 30, 40 years, right? And so some of these workshops are way over my head. A little discouraging, to be honest. But when you talk about jamming, so every night they had mini concerts during the day, and then they had like big concerts at night in like a legit hall, and they invited the local public to them as well. And it's just amazing what these people can do.
Yeah.
But they all kinds of genres of music. It's pretty remarkable. I mean,
and is it common that like someone who plays this to be solo, or are they part of a band?
No, both.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of solo stuff.
What goes with that? Like a harp and
Well, the shamisen, which is a Japanese basically stringed instrument that's really long.
Oh, I've seen that in kung fu movies.
And then the koto, which is like a three string guitar looking.
Why would you know that?
Because I've just seen like compilations for movies.
So that's oftentimes played with like traditional Japanese.
I've seen kung fu movies too, where kung fu fighters who use it, but they'll like use it as part of their fighting and stuff.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, dude.
So one of the really cool things that happened was I was there till Sunday. The event actually ended Sunday evening.
Yeah.
So I missed the last day. But the night before, they took us to this little town outside of where we were in College Station, where Texas A&M is.
Yeah.
It's called Round Top, and it's like a little western town. And they have a really nice theater there. But after that concert, there was a dinner, and they had a country western band there. But a couple of these American flute players, they had the band back them up with some like blues chords and things like that. Cool. And they were just jamming. It was really cool.
Bluegrass kind of stuff.
Yeah. You
guys heard a band, Doug?
I got to get a lot better before I do anything like that.
Good place to meet chicks or no?
He paused.
I paused. I mean,
put him on the spot. Like,
there are some attractive Japanese girls there, but I spoke to a couple of them.
Did you end up making friends with anybody? I mean, obviously you're talking to people.
Yeah, I met.
How many times did you exchange your number?
I really didn't exchange numbers. I did meet this one guy on the bus on the last day, Japanese guy. He's kind of sitting there all alone, and I started talking to him, and he didn't really speak much English, so that was great because I could speak Japanese to him. And so I did get his information.
Is there a type of person that's into this? Like there's like as far as like their career path, or is it just so diverse?
It's super diverse. That was one of the questions I asked a lot of people, is like, what drew you to this instrument? Because it's so obscure in my mind, especially if you're a Westerner, right? Mm. A lot of them were musicians. And it was interesting that some of these people were like pro musicians, and they used to play stringed instruments.
Novelty,
And they said, I've stopped playing all my other instruments. Because it's a super challenging instrument, but there's so much you can do with it. Huh. It's a real fascinating
thing. Can you play it for us?
One of these days. Yeah.
Not right now, but.
Yeah.
We should open up one of the episodes.
I just want to see Doug do that. You know what? Doug's so undercover. Yeah. You said you're a beginner. I bet he's way better than you making this thing.
He wouldn't.
I bet he starts playing it and we're like, oh,
no.
No, I wish he's only been going for less than a year.
Doug, he dives in.
We're all like that. We're all obsessive about whatever our thing is. Yeah. It takes time to.
I think I'm doing well for how long I've been doing it, but. Yeah.
You'll know when he's starting to feel confident about it, he'll start carrying it to work and shit.
Yeah.
Between podcasts,
he's got the little. crack open the case.
Yes. And yeah. Did you play for those two girls that you talked to? Or they sing to you, Jan?
No. Trust me, it's not like a guitar, right? You pull it out and the girls flock, you know? Yeah. I don't think it's that kind of instrument.
Took that guitar and smashed it.
How was the spot in the hotel? Did you stay in a hotel or Airbnb?
You know, I stayed in a hotel. It was actually a nice hotel. It's part of the Valencia.
The Valencia family.
Like the one up in Santana Row. Yeah.
Nice, dude. That's great. That's great, man. Justin, you were down in Palm Desert.
I was down there and we were right there because Coachella was good at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, man. Like,
did you see any people from Coachella?
I didn't think we were going to because, I mean, the airport was really busy, and then I got picked up, but like my wife and kids got there early, like a couple days before I did, and then we went there. When I did run into some Coachella people though, so we one day we went to the Living Zoo, that's there. It's actually a pretty rad zoo, and this is the first time I've been where it's not like in the summer, so it wasn't like unbearingly hot and like all the animals are hiding, and so we're having a great time. It was great weather and we're kind of walking around. And then we get into this one spot where they have like kangaroos and you can like, you know, check them out, but you can't touch them or anything, but they're all open. They're kind of just jumping around you. And these two girls and this guy, they're like, they must have just come from some rave or I don't know what.
Must have been Coachella or something.
It must have been Coachella because they're like in mini skirts and like really high mini skirts where their cheeks were hanging out.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, exactly. And it was like, I'm, you know.
And you're with your family?
With my two boys. Yeah, oh my wife.
Who were totally bummed about
that. They're just like stopped dead tracks. And I'm like, they're going to say something. I'm like, please don't say anything. Like, the whole time I'm trying to coach. I'm like, okay, let's talk about this later. But right now.
We'll talk about this later. Yeah,
like, please don't say anything. You know, and it's like, oh my God. And then Ethan's just like praying for like a breeze. You know? And I'm like, oh, I remember, you know, cause he's a teenager.
Of course at that age.
You know, oh my God. But it was just
like
so
that. I bet you the whole weekend, that's egregious. What he remembers more than anything else.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, I've never like, at a, like there's kids, it's a family
that
zoo.
Would piss me off.
They literally look like strippers, like just cheeked out. Like,
so where are you at this moment? You're at like a restaurant. Where are you at?
We're in the zoo.
Oh, like a zoo.
It's like families with kids and stuff.
It's
there.
Kind of a random.
And they have like high heels, and they're like bending over and picking. Like they were like completely like laissez-faire about
out
the whole
place.
Thing.
That's weird.
That would really annoy me.
I was just like,
there's kids like, and stuff. You don't want your kids. You know what I mean? I mean, you have teenage boys. Even that would piss me off. But I know. Imagine having little kids. You know,
it's hard for me to explain.
So weird to be at a zoo like that.
It was so random, dude.
That is random.
People are weird, dude. They did it on purpose.
Yeah,
they did it on purpose, bro. They want people to look at
pictures.
Them.
It was such like an influencer thing. Like I think that they were like trying to
now I
get
can
in front
that.
Of an animal and be like, you know, and I'm like, oh,
totally what
why?
That was. That's
like,
totally
go
what
to
that was.
Places where kids are, you know, like, go do your thing at Coachella.
You know what that require? What that should happen there? It should be not dads because that can be intimidating. It should be moms going up to them and just chastising them. You know what I mean?
Or just smacking them.
Just
go shame those girls, honey.
You know, if my grandmother was alive,
we'll put on some granny panties.
Oh, my grandmother, if she was alive, she was there. She was. This
I shirt. Wonder what Katrina. Would say. I don't think Katrina would say anything.
Oh my God, my grandmother said
that.
Yeah.
What did Courtney say anything, or what did Courtney say?
She just kind of rolled her eyes and was just like trying to shield the other, like the boys. I'm like, they're gonna watch. You know? and of course, they're like following. They're moving to the next station. They're just like,
hey, Dad, let's go look at the bird area.
I was just like,
bird area. You guys are
like, oh my God, dude, I don't know what to do here.
Oh man,
yeah.
did the boys bring it up later or no?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. We were having.
Hey, Dad, did you see? Laugh about it. Did you lie about it? What are you talking about?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I was looking at your mom.
Like, that's weird, huh? Like, people dress like that.
That's terrible.
Now, do they? Probably an opportunity for you to explain what Coachella is, and that's probably what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other kind of weird thing I was realizing too. I was just reading that a lot of people were kind of complaining about Coachella now because it's not like necessarily a festival for just regular people. It's like
no.
Dude, it's like such an expensive ticket to get in. And then they have like all these like special exclusive packages. And it's literally people were like maxing out their credit cards to go there to do their whole Instagram and influencing picture moments.
I've always wanted to go just to check it out at least one time.
It looks fun. Yeah.
Every time I'm about to, just like, it feels like so much effort.
And it's like, so
it's a lot. This is a lot.
Such an old man reason not to go. You have to like, this is like,
plus you are an old man. You're like, they're going to think you're a narc or something.
Yeah. That's the other thing. I mean, I know there's a lot of people that are even our age that go.
I can't wear those outfits, you know?
But it is like a
young kid. Bro, if you're in your mid 40s and you're partying at those places, like,
I mean, but, I don't know. That's, I feel maybe the same way too, but that's, I'm not, I haven't experienced it. So there's a part of me that's like, I wish I could experience so I could say that. So I go like, that's not for 40 year olds.
You know that though, like, and I didn't bring this up last time on the podcast, I wanted to, that they have like these new fitness events that they're trying to model after like
Coachella
and Burning Man and all that. And it's like the ones called like Running Man. And so they have, it's like overnight stay and everybody camps and then they have like slip and slide.
I brought that up. Remember when I talked about, I think I shouted this guy.
Duplo running
or whatever. Yes. Yeah. Where they're starting
that
to
blend. That was like the start of this whole thing.
Yeah. So I brought that up. I think I was shouting out that kid who does a lot of, and he was talking about how they're kind of combining like these, they had cold plunges were out there. Uh-huh. Had all this stuff where they were, it's like fitness.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
It was cool. Yeah. I mean, I thought it was cool. Diplo Run was the one that I was talking about. Really cool. And they have a DJ, right? So they got a sick DJ that's spinning. There's a run. There's cold plunging.
I see value in that. And it's too, because it kind of takes a little bit of the air out of like competitive, like, you know, like they're, people are just there to be hardcore. Like you can have fun and still do like
they call it a fitness and wellness festival. Doug pulled it up. Well, that's kind of cool.
It's interesting.
I think it's really cool. I think it's a cool way to kind of merge,
have fun with it instead of like, be so
it's more of a health vibe.
That's the only way you would get me to do a run like that.
Yeah.
Like if you were like, let's go have a good time. We'll watch a concert. We'll party at a festival and then we'll run.
I would do something like that. Yeah,
I would too.
I know. So you could walk it if you guys want.
Well, that's just it. There's less pressure around the run and what I'm trying to do time-wise. It's more about the whole event. And it's like, hey, why not burn all these calories off that we're going to eat and drink, you know?
Oh, so, that's great.
Yeah. That's cool.
We did Easter at a park and we had like a family reunion because we have such a big family now that we stopped all getting together when I was
houses don't make sense anymore.
It just doesn't fit. You know, when I was like
you know, your family's big parks. When you're like, we can't use houses.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And right around the age of 13, 14, we stopped all getting together for like Christmas and birthdays and stuff like that. Cause it was just, we didn't fit.
Do you have a memory of the last biggest one?
Oh, yeah. It was Christmas and we had the garage set up. The house was set up. It's in the winter. People still have to go outside. And there was a room of presents. Like you open the door and you couldn't walk in because people just had to throw presents in because there's so many people. Wow. So we stopped doing it. But we did Easter all together at a park. It was, I'll have them post up a picture. I don't know how many people, 100 something, 100 maybe. And there was a lot of people missing. So it was tons and tons of people that were there. It was a good time. And then also my church aired our testimony, my wife and I's testimony at the whole thing. Nice. Which was
I heard from random people that messaged me about that.
Yeah. So, you know what's weird is
did you watch it?
So we attended because we're gonna go. It's Easter, so I'm gonna go.
That would feel weird to me.
I know.
So
like sitting in the church and then watching.
Listen, I don't get
you have people like this?
Yeah. Well, you know what he did? So Tim Lundy is the pastor. He's really, really good. And he tied in the story of the disciples that left Jerusalem after Jesus died because they were so disappointed. And then Jesus shows up and he's walking with them. They don't even know it's him. And they're talking with them. And they're like, you don't know what happened? And they're telling him. And then he's quoting scripture. And then they go home. He's about to leave. And they're like, you know, why don't you come inside and eat with us? They bring him in. As soon as they eat, their eyes are open. They see who it is. And they're like, oh my God, you're back. You were resurrected. So he tied our story into that. And it was really cool. So he literally broke it up into three pieces. So the entire sermon, he was showing our testimony throughout the whole thing, right?
Wow, you weaved all of it in.
All of it. And it was really, really well done. My parents came. My dad, obviously I've known my dad my whole life. I've never seen my dad cry, ever, my entire life. Never. I've never seen tears come down his face.
Wow.
Not when his dad died, not when, never seen. I know he does, but I've never seen it. Saw my dad cry. He actually tears.
Now, did that get you hard or what?
Oh.
I mean, that would make me
probably. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, senior dad cries
like that. He kissed me on the cheek and it was.
Big cry fest.
Oh, man.
It was a big cry fest after that.
And we got really vulnerable. We told our whole story and how hard Jessica and I, our marriage was on the rocks.
Did you go up and do that? Or
No. Oh, I was playing on the thing.
Oh, got it.
I would be honest with you, I would have preferred to speak to everybody.
Interesting than watch it like that.
You know how weird it is to sit and watch yourself with everybody else watching?
That's what we're getting at. Yeah.
I was anxious. Oh, bro, my hands were sweating. I was just like, I'm uncomfortable. Like, I'd rather be talking. Like
So I want to go back to the family thing. Anytime you talk about family stuff, it's always intriguing to me because I feel like we have the reverse. Yeah. You and Jessica are like the reverse me and Katrina like that. So in a family situation like that, where it's like, it just, because this is Katrina's, so her and so much of her family, like there isn't, who cares? Let's just, more people we can fit more family, the bigger, the better. And I get it. And I totally get it. But then there comes a point where I'm like, this is ridiculous. Yeah. Like, you know, you got grown ass adults sleeping in twin beds and you got people stacked on the floor. Like
logistics just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. It just starts to get ridiculous. Right. And then it's like almost like uncomfortably, it's like, and yes, we're all together and I get the love thing, but then it's like, so in your family, are there some of you that are like that or are in like that are pro keep, who cares? We just, as long as we're all together. And then there's others that are just like, okay, this is ridiculous. Like
we stopped doing a lot of family.
Like functions. Who was the person who said like, okay, this is too much?
Well, everybody decided.
Okay.
Because,
so
because the matriarchs started getting older and the families, the kids started having their own kids. So we all started dividing up, for the main, holidays and stuff. We do this now maybe once a year as a family reunion. So we timed it on Easter.
So now how does that work too? Because I know this happens in Katrina's family, is that because you've done that for so long, like, and then you start doing things like that, there always ends up being like somebody in the family that kind of gets, that we didn't invite or didn't get left out.
Oh, everybody got invited.
So no, I mean, after.
Oh.
Once you start separating, it's just like,
oh yeah.
Do you have that sometimes that happens where it's like, we have a party going like that. We're like, oh, what side of the family am I bringing?
So here's what
happens. How much of my family?
So here's what happens. If I invite one of my aunts, and I don't invite the others.
Right.
I have to invite. So if I invite like one aunt, then I have to invite all the sisters and the brother.
Yes.
If I invite these cousins, then I probably should invite. Otherwise people feel left out. I can't have my brother come over unless inviting my sisters over as well.
Right.
Otherwise people get their feelings.
This is a good portion of planning. We just had a mom's 75th birthday was this weekend. And so much is like the planning, and it's exactly like that. It's just like,
well, if we invite them,
I bring this aunt, then we have to bring all of them, which means all their kids and all this. Yep. And that's another 30 more people that we weren't planning on. Yep. So we can't invite them. And mom's, well, I want this person, or I want that person. And it's like, dude, it's such an ordeal to like put an event on like that. Yeah. It's wild.
Yeah. So we had, it was huge, had a great time. And then there was a moment where I took, and I'll let the guys post it up. So I grew up with a bunch of cousins, male cousins, right around the same age. And in the picture that I'll show you guys, there's a couple that are missing. There's a few actually. But we all took a picture together and we're like all these old dudes now, right? Taking a picture. And it just brought back so many memories. And I was telling my friends, because I said to my friends, like, oh, you guys grew up together? I'm like, we were all boys growing up. Every family party we got together, and there were like at least, there were a good like 10 or 11 of us boys that grew up together. We would get in fist fights every time, fights every time. And then we're best friends afterwards, up until we were like 14. Then, you know, they get too serious.
Yeah,
people get hurt.
Yeah.
So then we kind of stop. But up until 14, there was always a fist fight at a family party.
Yeah,
and we're telling the stories. We're like, hey, remember we used to just beat the crap out of each other? Yes. And then, of course, the debate start. Who beat who? Remember I beat you? No, you did it, bro. I took you out, you know? That's a good time, bro.
Oh my God,
my uncle, I gotta tell you guys, my uncle was visiting from Chicago. My grandfather's generation, him and a lot of his brothers now have passed away, but I have a couple uncles left. So one of his brothers came, haven't seen him in a while. And as soon as he sees me, he's like, you look so young. How are you keep your skin, whatever. And so I sold him Caldera Lab. I use this oil on my face, my company, whatever. Yeah. He's like, no, get out of here. He's like, put oil on your face. He's like, you put stuff.
That's a weird conversation I've had a few times.
Listen, dudes. Remember, this is my grandfather's generation.
Perfect product for you.
Yeah. So as soon as I said this to him, I said, no, it's this oil I put on my face. He goes, you put stuff on your face like a girl? I said, no. Like, it works. It works really
it
well.
Is so true. We are in this generational shift of men doing stuff for their face. Like, you know, we're like in the middle of it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And so the generation coming up, it's like widely accepted. Yeah. But for our generation or older, it's
they didn't tell anybody.
You do what?
Yeah. So I got to make sure to send him some because I was talking to him about it and he was making fun of me. But I'm like, why do you think my skin looks so good? That's because I've been doing Caldera Lab the whole time. So good.
Hey, you know, speaking of partners and brands, we are introducing a new one, right?
Oh,
and
yeah,
I'm like the one, I'm the late to the party here. I know I have it, but obviously we've been with the move and stuff like that. I just haven't got around to doing it. But I know, Doug, you've used it now, right?
Totally.
Yeah. So what it is a shower head that has a built-in filter. And so all you do is remove your old shower head, which is easy. They actually include a wrench. You take off that shower head, you wrap this tape around it, which they include, and you put it back on, and there you go.
And it filters out chlorine and heavy metals.
Heavy metals.
But the chlorine is the big one. A lot of people, chlorine's in your water, it messes with your skin. So here's what happens with a lot of people that don't know this with chlorine. Chlorine kills bacteria. That's why it's in your water, right? Sure. That's how they clean our water. There's a little bit of chlorine in there. Not necessarily a bad thing. However, constantly putting it on your face and on your body.
Dry it out.
It disrupts your microbiome.
Okay, so Sal, is that what makes it considered hard water versus?
No, that's different.
That's mineral content.
Oh, that's different.
Mineral content. Okay. So chlorine, constantly putting it on your face and your hair, it disrupts the microbiome. A lot of people don't realize this, but they get acne because of the chlorine.
Yeah.
Because when you kill all the bacteria, it allows the bad bacteria an opportunity to outgrow the good stuff. Because otherwise everything's in balance. So what you see with a lot of people, the reason why we're working with them is when you read the reviews and you look at the data, there's people who are like, my skin issues are gone since I started using this filtered shower head.
I wonder if that's so weird you just bring that up right now, because I was off air, Justin and I were talking about face pimples, and I'm like, dude, I've had more face pimples. The audience has probably already noticed, like, in the last month.
Nobody noticed.
Oh, bro, they were like, don't you remember?
They everything.
Bro, I had
you had one.
I had two episodes where I had to keep a freaking piece of towel because it was, like, bleeding. Yeah. I haven't had this. It's like 17-year-old pimple face. Like, so weird.
I'm not kidding you.
I had like five. So my point of bringing this up, not to go.
I did see it. It was a big one.
Yes, dude. I went here and then here. I went each side.
You came at your fat face earlier.
It was there.
But my point of bringing it up is that I now, for the first time since I was a kid, have a pool. And I've been swimming in it all the time. So I'm wondering if the chlorine to what you're saying right now. Because it's so weird it's the amount.
Chlorine.
And that's the only, I was like, I haven't changed diet.
Anywhere else you breaking out?
No, just my face. Your face. Yeah.
It's
weird.
Yeah. When you take a shower, do you wash your face with soap?
I use Caldera.
Oh, okay.
I'm still
so that'll balance you out.
Probably just lather up the bar and then do my face hair.
So their products will balance out.
I'm a one thing all. Yeah. So
you know it's a good idea then. You use the Jolie shower head right after you get out of the pool. Wash yourself.
So
that's a great combo.
So this is why I'm bringing all this up. Is like you haven't been to the place yet, but we have an outdoor shower.
Oh,
that we had
so
all
right when you get out
remodels for that. What I'll do is I'll put it on that.
Makes perfect sense.
Yeah. So I didn't even think about that.
You know what some people do with their pools now is they have saltwater pools. Yeah.
So even I will tell you this though, even saltwater, our jacuzzi up in Truckee saltwater.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah. So you still use a little bit of chlorine.
Oh, you do.
You just don't use as much.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. So even the saltwater.
It's definitely better on the skin.
It makes a huge difference though. It does make a big difference.
Everett's skin is like always an issue. Like he's just very sensitive with it. And so getting out of the pool, we have to like get him in the shower right away to like, because otherwise he's going to get rashes and all this stuff. Like it happens almost immediately.
Yeah.
I got to bring up a study on probiotics. You know, another one came out with athletic. We're talking about, bacteria. Let me pull this up. Did you guys know there's another study connecting probiotics to better athletic performance?
Another one. Wow.
Yeah, dude. So it's turning out to be, this is so funny. Our probiotics are going to be like
if you turn a performance into performance supplement. People like me will start paying attention.
So they had 30 healthy male recreational athletes and they were randomized. This is a double blind placebo controlled trial. So they either received this probiotic or placebo for 30 days. So, and then they did blood sampling after a 20-kilometer cycle time trial. So they went hard for 20 kilometers. And they looked for oxidative stress, performance mechanisms, you know, whatever. The findings, improved time trial endurance performance, ready for this, 21%.
What? Come on.
Double-blind placebo-controlled study.
Dude.
30 healthy male recreational athletes. Okay. That's not a bad study. I'd like, and by the way, if this was the only study that showed improved athletic performance, I'd be like, let me see more.
Bro,
but there's a lot.
20 is what I'm tripping about.
Yes. Because
improved performance, like, okay, makes sense. Like, your gut's healthier. Mm-hmm. You're in a better situation. You're going to perform a little bit better. Like, I would expect that. But 20?
20%.
Yeah, 20s.
This backs up other studies, though, which is why this is interesting. There was a 22% reduction in intestinal fatty acid binding protein. This is a marker of damage. So that may be why. It's because a lot of people don't realize the inflammatory process of exercise, there's a lot of it that's systemic, and it can also attack your gut. In fact, leaky gut syndrome is far more prevalent.
Gets exacerbated in athletes, right?
Yeah, in athletes.
Well, yes. Yeah, I was just asking, you know what also makes this really interesting is that they just, obviously they took a bunch of random people, but I mean, imagine the person who has really major issues. It's probably the difference is even bigger. Like that could be like life changing, getting that much percentage of in performance increase by taking care of that.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Is that new?
Yeah, it's a recent study. So I will predict that probiotics will be promoted as performance enhancing supplements probably 5 years from now. It'll be like a top, like take this to improve your athletic performance.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's really cool.
Brain.fm, listen, you listen to their engineered music and sounds, and they will induce different brain wave states. This is built by scientists. It actually works. In other words, if you listen to sleep, it puts you to sleep. If you listen to focus, your brain waves will become those that are best for focus. It really works. Don't believe me. Try it out for yourself for 30 days for free. See what happens. Listen to it for 10 minutes. It literally blows your mind. Go to brain.fm/mindpump. Again, try it for 30 days for free. All right, back to the show.
Our first caller is Darlene from California.
What's up, Darlene?
Hello. How you doing, Darlene?
Hi, guys. First, I just want to say thank you so much for selecting my question. And most importantly, thank you so much for all the content you all put out. I've been listening to you religiously for the last 3 years. And you've made my journey as a personal trainer just skyrocket. So thank you guys so much.
That's great. Awesome. Thank you.
Awesome.
I'll jump into my question. I'm going to read it if that's okay with y'all.
Please.
All right. So since submitting my last question, I actually made one key change. I should read the first one. So my original message says, here you go. I'm a personal trainer and have been dealing with persistent bloating and feel wider around my midsection for the past 6 months. While there are occasional days I wake up feeling lean, most of the time my body just feels off. My weekday schedule is packed. I'm up at 4:30 a.m. and often only manage a pint of bone broth and an almond milk latte before 11 a.m. due to early sessions and lack of meal prep. After my Tuesday, Thursday morning clients, I have a 30 to 40 gram protein breakfast. And then despite that solid meal, my sugar cravings have become intense. I've gone from being able to enjoy a few bites of something sweet to completely losing control, polishing off an entire pint of ice cream right after a full meal. Could this be because I'm not eating enough calories or carbs in the morning? Should I be increasing my total calorie intake? I'm hesitant to raise calories because my body feels so off, but suspect that might be the solution. Since submitting that last question, I actually made one key change. I started eating a proper breakfast earlier in the day, and it immediately helped bring that sugar craving way down. They dropped from a 10 out of 10 to a 3 out of 10 in just a couple of days. Yep. Which was wild. So now I know under eating in the morning was definitely a part of the issue. That said, I still kind of feel off in my body, like a little inflamed or puffy, especially around my midsection. I've realized this might be more related to my sleep quality, waking up at 4:30 a.m. for early clients. And I live above a noisy intersection with a stop sign where people are constantly revving engines, blasting music, and I think it's been subtly wrecking my recovery. Mm. I move into a quieter place May 1st, and I'm really curious to see if that helps me feel more like myself again. So now I'm wondering, should I change anything about my training during this transition period while I'm still kind of in this in-between of stress and less than ideal recovery? I'm currently running MAPS anabolic. I'm in phase one, just finished week one last Friday, and seeing good gains. I have access to MAPS symmetry, anabolic, as I mentioned, aesthetic, prime, beginner, and resistance. If there's something more recovery friendly, is there something more recovery friendly I should be doing? Should I scale back my volume, intensity, stick with my current program, or pivot while my sleep is compromised?
Yeah, maybe MAPS 15 until the sleep gets better.
Are you still getting the bloating?
Yes. And my, like, the sweet tooth cravings have gone down. I eat mostly like home cooked meals. A lot. I hit my protein targets. So I am still feeling like digestive, like inflamed maybe.
Yeah. Okay. So you should probably get tested just to see if you have SIBO or a candida overgrowth. The solutions for that are actually not bad. Like, there's actually herbal treatments you can do now that have been shown in studies to be as effective as the pharmaceutical ones that people used to use. So there's a few products you can look at. One of them is called Etrantil. And then there's another combo product, FC-cidal and Dispiocide, that they'll often use for SIBO. But if you're getting bloating, and if you notice it, especially after meals or at the end of the day, there may be something going on digestively, which, by the way, poor sleep will contribute to. Mm-hmm. So poor sleep can definitely contribute to that. And when are you moving, by the way? Is that happening now?
May 1st.
May 1st.
Okay, that's good. So hopefully that helps. And are you getting like at least 8 hours of sleep at night?
Yeah, I literally go to bed at 8:30.
Okay. All right, good.
Wake up at 4:35.
Yeah, so I would look into SIBO, to some gut testing. You can also just try treating it without testing, which I don't necessarily recommend, but you could do that with some of the products that I mentioned. You'll typically go through a few weeks of Herxheimer effect where you get this die off. So you might feel worse before you feel better. So you could try that out. And then as far as workouts, I think MAPS anabolic, the 2 day a week version is great. And then MAPS 15 afterwards would be great as well. And then after that, depending on how your sleep is, you're probably fine moving into any of our other programs.
I think that will actually, even the fact that you started eating like a real true full breakfast, made a huge, a 10 down to a 3. I think the improved sleep will take it down to a 0. I think that, cause that will contribute to the cravings. And I know too from firsthand, those are the two big things for me. If I am breakfast skipping and or bad sleep, that's the day I'm going to crush the ice cream. If I can tackle those two things, it keeps it in check. So yeah. I totally feel you on that.
Do you train privately or do you work in a gym?
Currently privately. I just transitioned full time, like out of a gym in August.
Wow. So August till now. So since August, you've been doing this privately?
Well, kind of. I was a contract worker since 2022.
Okay.
At a gym.
How's the course been for you? How's the course been for you? Because I know you're in our course.
Yeah, it's been really helpful. Luckily, I had a really good mentor when I was like training clients out of a gym previously, and he helped me a lot with the financial parts of it, talking about leads and stuff. But going through your course, I wish I would have learned that back when I was doing NASM, because it would have just set me up a lot better. That being said, a lot of the content is super helpful, and I'm glad I'm in there.
Awesome. Well, good
to hear.
Good. I'm glad to hear. So yeah, get back to us. Let us know. We'll send you MAPS 15 if you don't have it. And then I'll make sure when Doug sends that to you in the email, he writes down the name of those products that help treat things like, you know, candida, SIBO, SIFO, which, you know, if you have one of those, they should help.
Okay. Thank you so much. And I actually did have candida before and went to a gut specialist to get that treated. I have been having feelings that it might be flaring up again, and that could be the issue. I was just really hoping it's not, but you're saying that there's a medication I can take now instead?
It's over the counter. They actually did a study a while ago where they compared herbal antimicrobials to the antibiotic style ones that were previously used, and they were as effective. They were just as effective. In fact, I would say they're more effective. Like, antibiotics kills bacteria, but it can cause fungal overgrowth. Mm-hmm. The antimicrobials that are natural do all of it. So when the functional medicine practitioners that I know, they work with the herbal ones first. And the ones I mentioned were the best ones that I've seen.
Awesome. I'll definitely look into that. Last time I had it, I had to do like 90 days of like only eating five things basically. So hopefully this will help.
Yeah. Yeah. So check it out. Cool. Yeah. Awesome. Get back to us. Let us know how it goes.
All right, darling.
Mm-hmm. Will do.
Thank you. I'm so glad that she's doing well. She had a good mentor, which is huge.
Yeah.
And then she's in our course, which helps a lot as well. But yeah, bloating is there's gut stuff going on there. It's typically, you know, there's something that you need to look at. Yeah. And that's not normal. Like, you should not.
Well, I think especially a lot of people, when she's got the other stuff in check, like the diet's got back in check, and then she's still suffering from that a little bit.
You know? And you shouldn't like, a lot of people, they think that, oh, this is just what happens. I just get bloated after meals. Like, you shouldn't feel that way.
Our next caller is Afton from California.
Afton, what's happening?
How you doing?
How are you guys doing? Hello. I know everybody says the same thing. You guys are the best, and you guys have helped us so much. And so I'll pass all that on. I'll save all that, because you guys hear it all the time, and it's so true. I always agree with all the callers.
It's okay. It never gets old. It's good. Yeah, it's good for Sal's ego.
You can totally tell me all that.
Yeah, I know. And I love. Oh my god, you guys are always so funny too. I laugh out loud. Okay, so you tell me when you want me to start my question.
Go ahead. Read it to us.
Let's go.
I'm gonna read it because they said I can't like go off, and I always go off. So I'll just stick to the point here. Mm-hmm. So I'm a pretty successful trainer here in Huntington Beach, California. I got a good following. I got a good clientele. But recently the gym I was training at for 12 years closed. And I've tried a few other gyms. We already know where I'm going with this, right? Mm-hmm. And I just can't find one that I'm sold on. So I go back and forth. I'm like, oh, maybe I should open my own space. Now all my clients are like, open your own space. But, you know, shoot, I've been in the gym business so long. I know that I already know, like, the gym owners aren't making, you know, that much more money for as much more work that they're putting on. So I have a really good lifestyle. I got to work a great work-life balance. And I'm married. I have two kids. I have a 9-year-old, a 6-year-old. My husband supports me. He's like, open up, because you talk so much crap on everybody else's gym. Why? Let me see you do it better. I'm like, well, I can't, you know? But he also says too, he's like, you should just stop all in-person training and just go all online. I'm like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that either. So the question is, should I open my own private studio, even though I got a great work-life balance right now, but I'm not super happy with like the gyms I'm training at? So I want to hear your answer. I already know your guys' answer, but I need to hear it.
I'm going to throw you a curveball. Because I do normally tell everybody, don't do this horrible idea. You're an exception to the rule, and I'll tell you why. You mentioned one. You sound like you have an incredibly supportive husband and family. Mm-hmm. Who's like, go get it, babe. I don't care if
that's a big factor.
That's huge. That's huge. Like, you know, because you don't have a lot of pressure of, oh my God, I got to make this much to survive and pay the bills. So you have that. So that's a huge advantage. You've got a lot of experience. You've been doing this for a long time already. Sounds like you're already really successful. So to me, those are like those are big qualifiers for me before I would tell someone to go do something like that. Hey, you need to have proven to me that you were already really successful for a long time already, which you've done that already. It's awesome you have somebody who can help support you while you do that. You're a bit of the exception to the rule of somebody I'd say, hey, maybe you do open your own studio. I will say this though, and I'm assuming you don't have our course, because you probably would have mentioned that. The trainer course would be incredible for you, because not only do we talk about starting a studio or doing those things in there and the steps that we'd go about it, I do think having your online business complement your in-person would be a superpower. I mean, that's kind of one of the things that we talk about this. I'm going to reveal a little more than I have publicly right now. But one of the things we're doing is we're building this massive online coaching business right now underneath Mind Pump. And we've got 6 trainers working for us already. We've been behind the scenes developing that. And our kind of strategy is going to be, we're going to build a very successful online business and then eventually do the thing that I tell everybody not to do, go open a gym. But guess what? Right. When we open that gym, we already have consistent revenue virtually that will fund that gym, and it doesn't need to be profitable, which gives me all this leverage to take my time and scale it correctly and be super successful in person. And so I think you sound like you have that kind of working for you, and you could kind of use that same blueprint of let's go build a big virtual business. Then maybe we start in a small kind of warehouse, small footprint type of gym and make it profitable and then grow from there if you want to, or enjoy the work-life balance because you're the owner and operator.
Yeah.
Right.
How long have you been training people?
12 years.
Oh man. I think I'm going on almost 20 years. And when I moved to California, I'm originally from Wyoming. I didn't have a client. I didn't know anybody, and I built my business, and I'm like, I know I can do that. I get a lot of my clients are just referrals now, and I do a little bit of online too, but I enjoy going in. You guys get it. You guys talk. I mean, I like what I do. I truly do. And I also know if I open my own business, do I enjoy that as much anymore? Is it become more of like, now I'm a boss. Now I'm managing, having to get some trainers in there, to help pay. Does it take the fun out of it is where I'm at.
That's the question I was going to ask you. I can see why you're successful, by the way. You have a magnetic personality. So do you want people to work for you? Do you want employees, or do you want to just train?
Well, I think I would have to, especially the amount of rent that's here in Huntington. I mean, I go back in the industry. I've already done all the research on the numbers have to make sense. And right now they're just not making sense here in Huntington Beach.
You don't have to. Here's my point. You don't have to. So, but if you want employees, you got to find a space and do the whole deal. If you don't, I know very successful, because you're in a great area. Huntington Beach is a great place for personal training. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Have you thought about doing it out of your garage? Your clients will probably.
Oh my gosh. Everyone says that, do it out of your garage. And my husband, he's like, he's got it dialed in there, and he's got his truck, his truck's on. I've thought about it. I just don't know if I want somebody at my house at like 5 a.m., 6 a.m. Yeah. I mean, it makes sense though, because I have young kids and my husband's a fireman. So when he goes,
that's the only way I would do it. If I were you, and you don't want employees, because opening a studio means you got overhead, you got to buy equipment. Now you're paying rent. That means you're going to have trainers that you're going to manage. You're not just training your clients. It sounds to me like you truly enjoy just being a trainer. Mm-hmm. And having your own space to do it is the only thing that makes sense for me. For you, it would be doing it out of your house, out of your garage, or a space like that, or finding a space. Like, there are places, and I don't know how easy they would be for you to find, but there are places like chiropractic offices or healthcare places that have a gym that then you can rent and be the only trainer in there would be the other way. But the other, it's like, do it out of your garage. I've met now several trainers who are very successful, who have incredible clientele like you. Your client's probably been with you forever. They'll probably stay with you forever. And they do it out of their garage. They do it right out of their garage. And that's that.
We just got done.
That's exactly what I'm thinking about.
Ben Bruno's one of the most successful.
I follow him. I know. And he does it all out of his garage.
Out of his garage. And he's got probably the biggest A-list clientele I've
ever heard. They love it. They love it. And you don't need a lot of equipment. You know that. You squat rack, adjustable bench, some dumbbells, maybe a cable, maybe not. And your clients would love coming. And you have no overhead. It's in your home. You can write off your garage as a business expense. Actually, will save you money,
right?
And you got to do is make sure you maintain that wall, right? Like it's business, and then this is my home life, and and that's it. I think that's the only thing that makes sense. Otherwise, go pay another gym to train your clients, or go work at another place. But it doesn't make sense for me for you to open a studio and employ people. Because that's not what you want to do, and that'll make this very different.
I want to see you in our course with our. We have a community of over 1,000 personal trainers that are all over the country.
You know
what
she would do well with.
And I'm not supposed to veer off this question, but I'm in that growth personal whatever or something. It's with you guys.
Yeah.
And I asked a question in there a while back, and I know Doug, kill me for going off the question, but I have to ask now. I said, Do you guys, I've had clients that have been with me for like 10 years. Like they stay with me. They're lifers, right? I'm like, do I raise their, and everybody in there is like, you don't raise your, you know, your, they, you grandfather them in. Well, here's the problem. I have so many clients that have stayed with me. It's like, now my, it's, so do you raise your old client? Like the clients that have been with you forever, do you raise their prices?
Yeah. That's a good question.
It is a good question. And it's a case by case situation.
It is.
Right?
Okay. And
it's
delicate. And I know I went off and you don't have to, but everyone said no.
Here, listen how these feed into each other really well. Like what a great way to transition into raising my clients. I'm going to be moving my gym into my garage. I'm going to spend some money to be doing this. I now have to have operating costs for a business because I'm no longer working at a gym.
Yep.
I've got to move my clients up a little bit. I just wanted to give you the heads up that when we go to re-sign next time, I'm going to boost most people this much. I'm only going to do it this much on you because you've been with me for so long, but I just wanted to give you the heads up that I've got to move in that direction. I hope that you're okay with that. And like, I think you could present it like that. This is the change you're going through. This is what most people you're going to charge. Give them a deal. So going forward, new clients will be this premium. You've been a longtime client of mine, so I just need to bump you a little bit to cover overhead stuff, and that's how I would do something like that.
Yeah, well, let's get into the numbers a little bit. Were you paying rent at another gym? Is that how you were working at another gym?
And I was at a chiropractic place for 12 years, and that's, yes, I was. And I was paying like about $1,500. Okay. I just found another gym. I do a flat rate. And it's $800. So I'm like loving the rent there, but at the same time, I don't love the space. You
okay.
Know?
So you were paying $1,500 for 12 years. Now you're paying $800, but that's closing. So doing it out of your garage, you automatically pay zero. And then what are you charging with the, do you mind me ask, what is your per session rate with these long-term clients?
Oh my gosh, you guys are going to kill me. I'm about 80 right now. But any new person coming in is 100. And I heard your guys's, I already heard, yeah. I'm like, and somebody yeah, just said, Afton, you need to be higher. You need to go way higher.
You could tell those clients that you could bump them $10. They won't blink.
Yeah.
Yeah. They won't.
Okay.
They're not going to blink it. Hey, look, I haven't changed your prices in 10 years, but I got to do this. And I'm going to be moving my gym and it's going to go up $10 a session. They're not going to blink at that, but then you're not going to pay no overhead with your garage either. Yeah. I think that's a win-win right there. If you ask me.
Okay. I was for sure. You guys were like, no, don't open your own gym. I wasn't expecting that. I already told all my clients today. Yeah. I move clients around. I'm like, they're going to tell me, no, I'm ready. Okay.
You're the exception to the rule. You really are. But I'm going to keep pushing I want you in the course. Cause we haven't even touched on this. Cause it's a whole nother hour talk with you is the CRM that we're doing now too. So that would be a massive, easy way because of how sophisticated it is and all the new things you're going to be able to do with it, with what we're providing you. That's an easy way too, to start to bump them up is now that you have this great software that'll provide them workouts when they travel and all this great stuff. Like, so I have a whole presentation for you on how I would present to these clients where your prices are going and why they're going there. But I got to get you in the community. We're in there helping coaches and trainers like that and working through this. And so get your butt in there.
Okay. All right, you guys. Thank you so much.
You got it. Thanks for calling in.
Have a good day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. So, I mean, you see why she does well. She's got a great...
I mean, I always tell people what I'm the first one to be like, don't.
Huntington Beach, 80... For people who are like, $80, that's a lot.
Huntington Beach is...
That's cheap. Yeah. You're probably a good trainer, an experienced good trainer, is about like $110, $120 at least.
At least.
But yeah, dude, she doesn't want to have employees. But yeah, dude, in your garage. If you got clients that have been with you for that long, they'd love coming to your garage.
And but it's also a really good step in the direction of maybe getting your own place, right?
Of course.
So let's first run it out of the garage. Let's see how that, and then, but I get her concerned too. Like I wouldn't want people coming to my house. Just how I am too. Like I got a family, this now. I don't want them coming to my house.
It's cheap. I mean, too, again, we didn't get into like her square footage or what she has option-wise.
Your warehouse.
Dude, yeah, exactly. There's shed options that are pretty cheap, and then you can just house like equipment in there. And so CrossFit already
built this model for you.
I mean, it'll be more than $800 a month is what she was paying.
Well, yeah, but I mean, she's been up to initially $1,500. You bump every one of those 80 clients to $110, $120. You could easily see your being there. But anyways, the garage idea is a great transition let's see if this is something I want to do and whatever. But also wanting her in the community because I know we have trainers down in Huntington Beach and some of that. So who knows? Maybe she meets somebody who they can partner up and do something together, or somebody else is like, I have a gym. Come work for me. I would love for you to be in my place. So I hope she gets in there.
Our next caller is Colleen from Illinois.
Hi, Colleen.
Hello.
Hi, how are you guys?
We're good. How are you?
Great.
Good. So I just wanted to thank you. As a woman who has three sons, I have six brothers, and I work in a male-dominated field, so I'm around a lot of men. Mm-hmm. I appreciate the way you speak about the women in your lives and how respectful you are discussing women's health issues. Oh, so I just wanted to thank you for that.
Thank you. That's an awesome compliment.
That is a good compliment.
Yeah, your podcast has been such a blessing. Anyway, let me get to my question, give you some details. So I'm 53 years old. I lost about 75 pounds about 7 years ago, and it took a couple years to come off. And I started with a personal trainer about 5 years ago, and that's when I started strength training. So I worked with him for 2 years, and now strength training is my go-to. I love it, and I can lift some weight. But this last year, I've been having difficulty with continuing to lose additional body fat and pounds. So struggling with like 10 pounds off and on. And I'm wondering now if it's because I'm officially in menopause. The past couple months, I did make some changes after listening to you guys. I did reduce some gym time, and I go to the gym about 3 times a week. I walk 8 to 10,000 steps a day, but I do have a full-time desk job. I eat about 140 to 150 grams of protein a day, 1900 calories. And I would previously eat these 1900 and drop weight. That's not happening now. I'm 5'8", about 205, and I'd like to get to 175. I like my body, but I'd like to see more muscles and, to be honest, look a little jacked. So even though I do feel healthier physically, mentally than ever, I am still hyper-focused on the scale, especially this year with no progress. And I was working out way too much. I was constantly sore and completely felt the effects of overtraining. So I'm not sure if I should cut or I should bulk and what program would be best. I hesitated cutting calories because I did not want to mess up my metabolism or even lose any muscle. So that's my questions.
Great. No, that's great.
Great question. And you're doing good.
So you said you haven't progressed in a year, but let's talk about that for a second. Have we seen any changes otherwise, or aside from the scale not changing? So in other words, have you seen any strength gains, any performance changes?
Strength gains for sure.
Okay, so you have progressed this year.
Yeah.
And the reason why I want to point that out to you is because we could get so focused on one metric that we ignore the progress in the other areas. And if you've gotten stronger this year, you are moving in the right direction, and eventually the body fat percentage will start to reflect that. And sometimes we pause. I remember where you were 7 years ago, 75 pounds heavier than you are now. And you started strength training recently. I think the picture you sent us was the same weight, but before you started, and then after you started listening or started lifting weights, I should say, you look different.
Yeah. The same way. You should have the same weight.
Well, no. There was more than one picture.
Yeah.
There's no weight change in those pictures?
No, there was one picture. Like
5 pounds.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. You look way different.
You're doing great.
That's incredible.
You're doing great. Here's what I would say, by the way, menopause or no menopause, does menopause affect how your body reacts and responds and feel? Yes, it does. But the same rules apply whether you're in menopause or out of menopause, meaning calorie deficit helps with fat loss, surplus helps with gain. But you're at 1900 calories. I wouldn't want to cut you at 1900 calories. I'd want to do a slow reverse diet.
Yeah.
And try to maintain the same weight and try to build some more strength before we cut back down. So maybe slow reverse diet till you get to about 2,500 calories and then bring it back down to 1,900 and we should see some fat loss.
We have an incredible, what's the doctor's name that we just had on the podcast, and we're dropping that?
Mary Claire Haver.
Yeah, she talked about
perimenopause. When's that going live?
In a week or so.
Okay, so in a week we have an incredible episode that you'll love. We talked everything about perimenopause and menopause is the whole conversation. So it's a great conversation. Yeah. Do you have somebody right now who is regulating your hormones? Are you taking anything? Tell me a little bit about that.
So I just listened to your hormone broadcast. So I'm going next Friday, a week from Friday, and having my hormones tested. Okay. So I am doing that. Just to see where my levels are.
Okay. Is this with a general practitioner or is this a hormone replacement specialist?
It's a hormone specialist.
Okay, good. And I know Sal is right. The same rules still apply with somebody who's in menopause. But the hardest time I ever had with clients, the most difficult ones were my clients that were going through menopause. And it was because yes, all the same rules apply, reverse dieting, building muscle, slowly losing body fat. But boy, it just moves really, really slow for somebody who is struggling with their hormones going up and down and fluctuating like they do when you're in menopause like that. And so having somebody regulate that can be a life-changing difference. Yeah. So I'm hormone excited therapy. You're going to do that.
Hormone replacement therapy can make a big difference.
Huge sure. difference. Yeah. Huge, okay. huge difference. Yeah. The clients that we were doing all the right things, but they weren't doing that, and they went and did that, it was like yeah. night and day difference for them. Yeah.
But nonetheless, I mean, the picture you sent us with a 5-pound different, there is a much bigger difference in body fat and muscle yeah. that doesn't show up on that scale.
Yeah.
And if you've gotten mm-hmm. stronger this last year, you're doing everything right. Yep. And so I would slowly reverse diet. Add 150 calories at a time. Stay there till things stabilize. Continue to get stronger, stronger. Once you get to 2,500 calories and you feel comfortable there and you stay there for a while, cut back down and we should see some fat loss.
What program do you recommend? Because I have 3 of your programs now. I have Muscle Mommy. I have Muscle Mommy. I have MAPS 15. And then I have Anabolic.
What are you doing right now?
Those are great programs for you.
Which one are you doing right now?
So here's my problem, and I need to do better. I try to do the 15, but then I was going in and doing more. So now I'm working on Muscle Mommy, and I'm just going in on 3 days a week.
Okay. Finish Muscle Mommy, finish Anabolic, finish 15. All 3 of those programs okay. are great for you.
Yeah.
But do them as they're laid out, okay? So it's like, imagine getting a recipe for like a particular type of cake, and then you add your own ingredients on top of it. It's not going to be good. That's what happens. Okay. That's what happens with workout programming. So when you add stuff to what we write in there, you've just messed up the whole thing.
Trust the process. Trust the process.
Okay. And then the only question I have is to go from 19 to 2,500. Like how much time should I do in between those?
So I like bump 150 calories, wait 3 weeks or so, see how things feel. Okay. Strength-wise, if everything's stable, you're not gaining weight, but you're getting stronger, then try it again.
Yeah, the reason why that's such a hard okay. question to ask for the individual is because like some clients, I'm able to go like 150 and then we didn't move on the scale at all. I can go another 150 the next week. They still don't move on the scale. I can go 150. And then others, we move 150 and then we see a little bit of increase in the scale. We got to kind of hold there for a week or two or three.
Yep.
And then they start to see either a little dip or leveling out, and then I can do it again. So really fill it out. What you don't want to see is any major swings. And if you see weight stay the same or go down, that's your green light to definitely keep adding calories. And I would keep doing that every time you can maintain weight
yep.
With adding calories. You should try and add again after that.
Okay. Well, that's good. Okay.
Let me have Doug put you in our private forum too. So as you're going through this reverse diet process, if you have any more questions, you can just message us there.
Okay, awesome. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You got it. You got it, Doug. Hold on real quick. So this is off air. Colleen, do you want somebody to help you reverse diet, coach you through the process? We have coaches that can do that.
Yeah, I might be interested in that only because like just to have, because the trainer I was using, he's not training anymore, right? So just to have someone talk me off the ledge, yes. right? It would be yes. nice to have someone to reach out to.
Yeah,
because I do. And I know the process works, but it would be nice, especially with reverse dieting. That's yes. why I've hesitated doing it.
Yeah, reverse dieting can be very individual. So like, yeah. so this part's not on air, but I'll have somebody reach out to you and they'll coach you through and work with you through the reverse dieting process.
Okay, great. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Awesome,
and you
Colleen.
Guys are the best. Seriously, you are. I share your program with everybody and my teenagers. Love you. I've got them listening to you. So just thank you very much. I do appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you. Awesome. Thank you for the compliments.
Right. Right. I appreciate All right, Colin. We'll be in touch.
Have a good one.
All right.
Yeah, that's I love when people send pictures where the weight is almost the same and you could just see.
Dude,
yeah.
Like radical.
Visible. Yes. Yeah, very visible.
And I did want to make a point, you know, when people say I've had no progress. No progress means no progress. It doesn't just mean no change in the scale.
Yeah.
So she got stronger. She's progressing. She's still doing very well.
Yeah. I mean, that's why it's so deceiving because
deceiving.
And I tell you, the clients that I had the hardest time were my clients that were going through menopause. Yes, if your hormones are 100%. Out of balance, it is really tough to build muscle. It's really tough to burn body fat. And so even if you're doing all the right things, it slows down the process even totally. More. And then you add like what you just pointed out was just that she actually is seeing progress, but because it's not dramatic or yeah. she didn't see this major swing, it makes it feel like she's not doing the right thing. So I'm looking forward to her going to get those checked and then balanced out too.
Our next caller is Greg from Colorado.
What's up, Greg?
What's up, man?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
How you doing?
Good, man. How can we help you?
Just wanted to let you know, appreciate everything you guys do. I've been listening to you guys for a year now. And you definitely helped with my imposter syndrome of trying to become a trainer with all the knowledge you guys put out there. So just wanted to let you guys know that.
Awesome. Perfect.
That's great.
Quick question. Let me just get to my email. Now, heads up, since I've sent this, a few things have changed. But, you know, we'll go over that after I ask the question.
Yep.
So a few years ago, made a big physical transformation from 245 to 183 after bodybuilding for 2 years.
Wow.
After that, I realized how amazing I felt, how clear my brain worked afterwards. Didn't know how out of shape I was until I looked back at all the pictures. In the last year, I decided I wanted to do this for other people. So I decided to start my own nutritional coaching company. I've coached a few people that I work with currently, haven't really gotten much traction with, kind of strangers yet, just trying to get my company out there. Currently I'm a residential electrician. I've been doing this for over 3 years now, but feeling kind of burnt out, don't really have any passion left in it. I've been listening to you guys for a year, like I said, and you guys have been mentioning a lot of times about how working in a big box gym just to get started, whether you're doing online coaching or anything, is a great idea. Figured I'd just kind of get your guys' insight on that. Currently, I'm certified in ISSA for nutritionist, strength and conditioning. And currently I did start my CPT through ISSA as well. So I'm kind of making that transition to jump into that personal training at a box gym. Big concern starting that was really just kind of financial obligations, making sure, seeing if that's possible, with obviously bills and stuff like that. So obviously I want to follow my passion and do something I'm passionate about. Just kind of get some advice from you guys and what you think about that. Hopefully working in a big box gym can contribute to my online company, and getting that started.
Yeah, definitely. And you said some things have changed since you asked this?
Yeah.
What are they?
So financial obligation-wise, I ended up moving up to my in-laws' ranch property that they've owned since the 1800s. We're currently in the process of selling our house now. So all that money from that I could use to kind of just mitigate all my bills, pay everything off. So I'm not going to have as much overhead. Nice. Bills wise, still kind of obviously personal training, the income can vary depending on whichever gym you're working with, what they decide to pay you hourly and how much per training session. So maybe just kind of talk to you guys about what that might look like, some advice on getting myself started and, you know, being successful in that. So I don't really have to stress too much about the financials.
Oh, that's good. Do you have any dependents?
I do. I just had a baby in June, so she's 9 months now.
Oh, good for you. So you got a baby, but you've cut down your financial obligations. Let's talk about the big box gyms that are around you. Which ones have you looked at?
So I talked to a branch manager at a 24-hour fitness. That seemed pretty promising working with them, but I haven't talked to too many gyms yet, but there's Lifetime, Anytime Fitness, 24-hour Fitness. You know, they kind of got a big mix of different gyms in the area.
Oh, you're good.
Lifetime and 24 are probably the best two. Lifetime will pay a little bit more. 24, depending on their size and their location, will get comparable traffic. But the two of them will be high traffic.
Offer benefits full-time, the whole deal.
Yep. So both those would be great. Either one of those would be a great option. I mean, I bet you're probably making pretty good money doing the career path you have now. So it's probably going to take you a minute to catch up to that, just being realistic. But it sounds like you're already planning for that. with what you're doing. So I think that's a great strategy. You definitely should be in our course, okay? Because that's literally what we take you through and the mentoring that we give you and a thousand other trainers that are going through that with us. And so, and it's not just the course, what you learn from that. It's also the fact that
the
you're
tools
now
that are in there.
Too. Yeah, it's ongoing mentorship from us. And I think that's where the value really is. So as you're going through this mm-hmm. and you come up with challenges, hopefully we're there to help support you and work through those.
If you do a good job in a big box gym, okay, if you step foot in a big box gym and you apply yourself and follow the things that we teach in our course, for example, and really apply yourself, you could be full-time within a few months, like full-time with clients. So you can figure your pay out there, how much they pay per session. What does that look like full-time with benefits? You'd be there if you applied yourself, followed kind of what we taught, probably within 90 days. Really talented people within 30 days. But most trainers, when I get them under my wing, within 90 days, we're doing well.
I say 90 is a good goal. 90 is a good goal. Could take as long as 6 months, depending on how fast. Out. But if you apply yourself, it's very realistic to be working full-time within 90 days.
And then from there, you just crush. You do a good job, build your business in there. And then from there, there's lots of different potential opportunities. Both Lifetime and 24 Hour Fitness offer great, you know, they have a great corporate ladder. You can move up to fitness manager, general manager. Now you're doing, you know, really well. Or you could take that, build upon there and go private. Mm-hmm. But I honestly think that your odds are high so long as you have good, you know, like I said, you follow what we teach you and you go in that big box. You get the leads, you're going to be in a busy gym. Really, it's just a matter of just applying yourself and doing the right things.
Yeah. The goal, if I was mentoring you, the goals would look like this, is that go through the course, learn everything we teach about building your business, getting leads, selling, all that stuff. Your first 90 days, the goal is just get your schedule loaded up. I think it's a very realistic goal. Then after that, from that point to the end of the year or beyond, is go become the best trainer in that gym.
That's it.
Can I prove to be the top dog? And that means asking a lot of questions, shadowing the other trainers, continuing to pursue education and learning, and just bearing yourself into that. And that's what you have your sights on, is can I learn enough, shadow enough, get enough, acquire enough practice and knowledge to become the best guy or girl in this gym? And that's my next big goal. And then once you do that, that really opens the doors of, do I want to stick in this career and get promoted within this company? Do I want to go off and open my own thing? Mm-hmm. Do I want to branch out and do semi like private plus online? Like, the doors really open after that, like as far as this career and what it has to offer you.
Yeah, yeah. But just so you know, like you have a good story because of the weight loss. That automatically is going to give you an advantage with connecting with people. But you know, when you go in a big box, like the hardest thing, period, end of story, for trainers is getting enough potential leads or potential clients. That problem is pretty much solved when you're in a big box gym. Like, if you get hired, which, you know, that's another process, but I don't think it's an issue with your passion. Present yourself well. You already got the certifications, they'll hire you. You just say, hey, fitness manager, can I please have a list of all the new members over the last 30 days? I'd like to call them. Like, instant leads. Like, you don't get that as a trainer doing things on your own. And that's very difficult to get otherwise. So, it'll happen. If you want to do it, it'll happen.
Yeah, take advantage
of that. I knew you guys, obviously, I've watched enough of this. I knew you guys were going to recommend that trainer course, which I fully plan on doing that as soon as my house sells and, you know, kind of got some extra cash. That was an automatic thing for me.
Cool.
You know, obvious right now, like I said, residential electrician, most of my job is sales. You know, I show up, obviously I have to do a lot of technical work and stuff, but I do have to talk to the customer. I'm inside their house. They're vulnerable. You know, I understand how that might feel. And I got to speak to people to kind of not exactly convince them, but just inform them on why this is necessary for them. Unfortunately, in this field, it's like, I'm there because they have to be, because something's broken, where I think carrying that communication skills and the sales skills over to fitness is going to be super beneficial because
very much so,
you know, they're there to better themselves, you know? So I just got to reassure them. Yeah, this was a good move, right? Like, this is why you want to do this. But yeah, I mean, after making my, I've pretty much been lifting since I was 19 years old. I'm about to turn 32, mostly bodybuilding stuff. I think the biggest concern now in my head, because I've always made like real, not real quick, but never been scared to make that leap of change. You know, I took an $8 pay cut to become an electrician, you know, a lot of different things. So I'm not worried about jumping into it anymore financially. It's more about that imposter syndrome, right?
No, you're fine.
I want to be a fake. I don't want to.
Greg, you're fine.
You're gonna be fine, Greg. You're gonna be good, bro.
Yeah, shut it down right there. You're fine.
You're fine.
By the way, what you said about your experience talking to people and the sales skills, make sure you say that in your interview. Hired. Yeah. If you said that to me, hired.
Yeah. Because that translates.
I would have hired you.
That translates so well to what, and no different than probably how you handle it right now when you are doing an electrical job and somebody asks you a question that's out of your scope. You probably just tell them that. It's no different than training. And don't the trainers make this mistake of being afraid to say that. Like just saying like, you know what? I don't know the answer to that, but I'll definitely find out for you. Like I haven't had a client yet that's had that issue I haven't done that, but don't worry. That's my job is to solve that for you.
And to be clear, you go learn. That's it. And to be clear, Greg, especially in a big box gym, 90%+ of your clients, you're not going to apply even a tenth of your knowledge.
Yeah.
You're gonna do like a leg exercise and like a shoulder exercise, and here's how you use this machine properly, and here's what a squat looks like. Oh, you can't squat? We'll start with this. That's 90%+ in big box gyms.
Yeah.
Now, if you were working in a rehab facility, I'd be like, okay, that's a whole other story. But you're fine. You're imposter. Get rid of that right away. You're totally fine.
Yep.
Yeah, I think it was mainly because I was been one track with bodybuilding. So like implementing a lot of mobility and like kind of HIIT training and, you know, mixing things up based off of who the customer is, what they want was really kind of just, it's more something that I just got to look into.
Greg, you also have at the tip of your fingers, AskMindPump.com.
Yeah.
And use that AI tool. I mean, this is how we're able to hire customer service teams that don't have trainer backgrounds and still yet support people. Is our team is trained when you get a question that's above you or you don't understand, ask mindpump.com, and then it comes out, and then you get to see an episode where we talk in depth about that. You see the AI spit off exactly how we would recommend it. So just use it. That tool to help support you when you run into those situations.
But the vast majority of what you're going to do with your clients is traditional strength training, which you know, and it's just appropriate exercises. That's all. So it's in a big box gym. You're totally fine.
Yeah.
Okay. If you guys got time, can I ask one more
please
aspect for me fitness wise?
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
Since I moved up to the ranch, been a lot of ranch work, you know, cutting down trees, stuff like that. I haven't really actually been in the gym or lifted in like 2 months because I've been so busy with between that work. And I do also train jiu-jitsu, go first thing in the morning before work most of the time, about 2 to 3 times a week. Obviously, getting back into lifting, resistance training would be the best bet, but most of my week, almost every other day, maybe every day in the evening or on the weekends, I'm chopping wood for hours straight. Cause we got to cut down like 40 trees on the property. What would kind of be a good idea on like programming? Cause I know you guys talk a lot about overtraining, not pushing it too hard, but to mix that stuff together, I'm finding myself ever since I hit 30 years old, I've never had an injury, and then 30, I had a major ankle injury. And since then, I'm just getting weird shoulder tweaks and knee tweaks that just put me out of training jiu-jitsu or, you know, kind of squatting or anything like
that. If you're training jiu-jitsu 2 days a week, 3 days a week, and you're chopping wood every day, all you got to do is correctional exercise.
Supplement it. Yeah.
Just correctional exercise.
One day a week of working out 4 exercises is more than enough.
More than enough.
And
even if you don't do that, just do correctional exercise.
You technically could not do that and be fine.
Totally.
Or like a MAPS 15 type of protocol, just 1 or 2 movements. Yep. Throughout the week. But yeah, you're already doing a lot that is going to require strength, require mobility, require endurance. And by the way, this is a great story to tell your clients. I was at a place in my life where even as a personal trainer, I wasn't lifting weights. Why? I was doing jiu-jitsu three times a week. I was chopping wood. I was staying healthy, fit, strong. All those things require those things. It wasn't the right time in my life to be lifting weights. And then I've been a bodybuilder where I was training 6-7 days a week to be a bodybuilder. Like, so it's a great story, a great example to give your clients and teach them that you don't necessarily have to be lifting weights in the gym 6 days a week to be healthy and fit. So scale way back, 1 day a week of training or less, and or like two exercises like for Max 15, that type of style is what you need right now.
Okay. And then once that, obviously the chopping wood's going to go away eventually.
Yeah, then you're good.
Maybe drop into something like anabolic. I have MAPS 15. I started it and then ran into all this work on the ranch. So I had to stop it. But, you know, obviously with jiu-jitsu 2 to 3 times a week, maybe something like anabolic or like MAPS 15 would be a good route to go to.
But even though, anabolic, 1 or 2 days, that's it.
Max.
If you're doing, you got to think your jiu-jitsu is like a hardcore lifting session. Think of it like that. So if you're already hardcore lifting 2 to 3 times, you can really only afford to do maybe 1, maybe 2 on a good week when you feel amazing, well rested. And so your training would be 1 day of anabolic, maybe 2 on a day where you don't make the mistake of even doing 3 days of that. 3 days of strength training with 2 to 3 days of jiu-jitsu is a lot. Too much.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's something I definitely had to learn after listening to you guys, because beforehand I was still trying to train like a bodybuilder and do jiu-jitsu 2 to 3 times a week. It was, and that probably explains why I got these injuries.
For sure.
So.
For sure. Common mistake, bro. Very, very common. Yep.
Okay. Awesome. Well, I appreciate it, guys. It's awesome. Another quick fact. I know you guys have talked about your faith before. I just wanted to throw it in there, hearing you guys talk about your stories amongst a lot of other people. Recently in the past, like 2 weeks, I found God, and it has already changed my life for the better.
That's
so
awesome, man.
I love hearing your guys' story, and and now I get to experience the same.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's amazing.
God bless you, bro.
Yeah, good for you, man.
All right. Well, I appreciate it, guys. Keep up the good work, and thanks for everything you do.
You got it, Greg. Thank you. Yeah, I mean, it seems like a no-brainer. He's already got rid of his overhead. He's got a big box right there.
Those skills carry over, too.
Those skills. When he said that, like right away as he was talking about that, if I was interviewing, I'd be like,
Oh, yeah.
Because he knows how to work hard, like done deal. He'll do fine.
Champion in that setting, and it's all going to fall.
And I gave him 90 days because that's what I would see with average trainers that applied themselves. Yeah. Good ones, great ones, a month, they would crush.
They'll do well.
Yep. Look, if you like the show, come find us on Instagram. Justin is at Mind Pump Justin. I'm at Mind Pump DeStefano. Adam's at Mind Pump Adam.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic. 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now, plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.
There's only one road into Key West, but you won't believe where it can take you. Travel back in time to a city rich with history. Discover amazing artists and musicians. Taste seafood fresh off the boat, or just kick back and soak up the island vibe. For more about Key West, visit flakeys.com. Key West, close to perfect, far from normal.
Ah, I'm sensing plumbing problems. Worry not. With American Home Shield, you can now video chat with live repair experts for help with home fixes over the phone. Talk to a real human expert over video chat who can help get that home system or appliance back on track. Ah, sounds like peace of mind. American Home Shield. Don't worry, be warranty. Visit ahs.com/listen for 20% off any plan.
Video chat feature available as benefit to AHS members with select plans. See ahs.com for hours and details.